Two people.
Two people?
Can anybody hear me?
It's all right.
You on?
We're good.
You good now?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. Adequate notice of this meeting of Lawrence Township Council held on Tuesday, June 21st, 2020, after providing through the posting of the annual meeting schedule of said council in accordance with Section 13 of the Open Public Meetings Act. Said notice was forwarded to the Trentonian, the Times, and the Ledger on December 22nd, 2021. Madam Clerk, would you do us the honors, please, and give us the inspiration to pledge allegiance to the call?
Yes.
May we carry out our work at this meeting in a just, honorable, and sincere manner, always bearing in mind our duties in continuing to keep Lawrence a wonderful community in which to live. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mr. Bobbitt?
Here.
Mr. Kanacki?
Here.
Ms. Lewis?
Here.
Mr. Powers?
Here.
Mayor Ryan?
Here. Special proclamations, recognitions, and presentations. We have a presentation by the Mercer County Action Team of the Johnson Trolley Line over Interstate 295. Remember, Eleanor.
I remember. You like that count?
I had a wonderful conversation with you. I really enjoyed it.
So did I. Good evening, Mayor Ryan and members of council. I am Eleanor Horn, co-president of the Lawrence Hopewell Trail and a member of the Circuit Trails Mercer County Action Team. My address is 18 Pinflower Lane, West Windsor, New Jersey. Now, while my house is in West Windsor, my heart will always be in Lawrence. Before I begin my presentation, I want to thank the members of council and Township Manager Kevin Nerwinski for your unwavering support of the Lawrence Hopewell Trail. You have been steadfast partners since the trail was an idea that many thought would never become a reality. Of the 22 miles, we have only 1.9 miles to build, and we have funding for most of that. I also want to acknowledge and thank Township Engineer Jim Parvis, who has effectively managed the construction of so many of the LHT segments in Lawrence, in fact, I think all of them, and has brought his many talents to the overall success of the trail. I come before you this evening to provide an update on an exciting project that will completely be transformative to our region, and it's the Johnson Trolley Line Trail, and more specifically, a bridge to reconnect the north and south ends of the Johnson Trolley Line Trail, which would allow pedestrians, cyclists, and those using wheelchairs or other mobility aids to cross Interstate 295 safely. I also come to ask for your continued support in moving the project through the next phase. Conversations about a bridge over the interstate started soon after the highway was constructed, as residents began to truly understand its adverse impact on our community. Reconnecting North and South Lawrence is an important goal of the project, and there are several other goals as well. The project will reconnect the Johnson Trolley Line Trail, a regionally significant and popular trail that currently exists through Lawrence and Ewing Townships. It will extend the Lawrence Hopewell Trail to the north and south with links to Princeton, Ewing, and Trenton, including access to the Trenton Farmers Market. The trail will connect some of the most densely populated areas in Mercer County. A bicycle and pedestrian bridge over the interstate is an important part of the Greater Mercer Trails plan in that it will safely connect people to employment, schools and colleges, shopping and restaurants. Removing the barrier of getting across I-295 is essential. Currently, there are 4 interchanges over the interstate for motor vehicles, but not even one for those on foot, on bikes, or in wheelchairs anywhere in Mercer County. Think of that, not a single interchange for pedestrians and bikers anywhere in the county. The Circuit Trails Mercer County Action Team is a group of transportation specialists, trail managers and enthusiasts, open space advocates, and county and municipal leaders who are working diligently to make the Johnson Trolley Line Trail and Bridge a reality, not in the distant future, but now. Circuit Trails is an 800-mile regional trail network extending from south of Philadelphia to the LHT, which is now the northeasternmost point on the circuit. For Circuit Trails, this project is our number one Mercer County priority because of its regional significance. The Mercer County Action Team has made significant progress in bringing the Johnson Trolley Line Trail and Bridge Project to life. We have, with funding from Mercer County, updated the 2014 feasibility study. We have had multiple productive conversations with the New Jersey Department of Transportation. We have been told that the Federal Highway Administration and the Department of Defense have cleared the project. We have the support of Rider University and the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, Mercer County, and the neighboring townships, Princeton, Ewing, and Hopewell. We have received an endorsement from the Lawrence Township Trails Open Space and Stewardship Committee, as well as the New Jersey Trails Council, because the project is fully consistent with the state's trail plan. We have endorsements from several organizations working in the sustainability arena, and we have the support of our state legislative team, Senator Shirley Turner, Assemblywoman Verlina Reynolds Jackson, and Assemblyman Anthony Varelli. Assemblyman Daniel Benson, chair of the Assembly's Transportation and Independent Authorities Committee, is enthusiastic about the project. So the time is to act now. The stars are aligned as never before. In Lawrence, throughout the state, the region, and the country, there is huge public interest and support for trails. The COVID pandemic created a groundswell of interest in and use of trails for physical and mental health. Increasingly, policymakers and planners recognize that trails are an essential part of the transportation network, getting residents of all ages and abilities to connect to friends in other neighborhoods, schools, colleges, jobs, grocery stores, tourist attractions, playing fields, and parks without the need for a vehicle. Well-designed trails help to address growing concerns about bicycle and pedestrian safety. In other words, trails enhance the quality of life, improve transportation, attract tourists, and increase property values. We must act now because of the availability of funding opportunities such as the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. This level of funding has never existed before for trails. We want to be fully prepared to apply for funding so that the incredible amenity that the trail and the bridge will not require township funds. Our request to council is that you agree to the following steps that are critical to making timely progress. First, we respectfully ask that council continue to partner with the Lawrence Hopewell Trail and the Mercer County Action Team in support of the Johnson Trolley Line Trail and Bridge. The bridge is already included in the township's master plan, and council has previously endorsed the project. Secondly, we ask that council agree that Lawrence Township be the lead on the project, provided that we are able to reach agreement with NJDOT about the structural maintenance of the bridge. And third, we ask that council authorize township staff to meet with county and NJDOT representatives to develop a memorandum of understanding about the ownership and structural maintenance of the bridge. Mayor Ryan, Councilman Bobbitt, Councilwoman Lewis, Councilman Kanacki, and Councilman Powers, thank you for considering our request, and thank you for your continuing partnership that has taken the Lawrence Hopewell Trail from being criticized by some as a trail to nowhere to being a much-loved community amenity, and now with the Johnson Trolley Line Bridge, will be a trail to everywhere. Thank you. How did I do, Mayor Ryan?
I wasn't going to stop here on a roll. Wonderful.
Can I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. And I want to thank Eleanor and the Trails Committee and everyone else. I know we've had these conversations with the Trails Committee as well. I remember 8 years ago when we started having conversations about adding it to the master plan. And people laughed because when were we ever going to get the money? And why would we ever do that? And I'm glad that at the time we continued to have people who pushed for that, because it was the first step to making sure that we could get money for this. And I thank Eleanor and all of your colleagues for continuing to push this, because I think that the one thing that we can't stress enough is that these are not just recreation trails. They are modes of transportation. And by creating a trail that comes over 95 or 295, which I live right at the edge of that trail, so I might be biased, but it provides job opportunities that would not else happen otherwise if you cannot walk or bike to those places. It provides additional connections, and it makes us a stronger community, not just for people who want to get out and walk, but for people who need to use bikes and walking as their primary modes of transportation. So I thank you for continuing to work on this project.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Just to echo, and I know, Eleanor, you, one of the things too, we have a new congressman, and we've been with Rush Holt and Bonnie Watson Coleman, but we'll certainly plant it. The Good Whisperer and Andy Kim's
seed was already planted.
There we go.
I would love for it to grow, and we can have that conversation.
He is on our list of people to talk with.
Right. We should check.
Thanks, okay. Mayor.
Public participation, 5 minutes, please. Please state your name and address.
Sure. David Mazenko, 5 Rose Court.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, Council. And I'm David Mazenko. I've been involved with greenways and open space with the Township for a couple of decades now, with Township committees and also with the nonprofit Friends of the Lawrence Greenway. So I'm talking on behalf of the Trails and Open Space Committee and also the nonprofit. And we've talked about our dream of having such a connection over 295. For a couple of decades that I've been involved with this, so it's really wonderful for me to hear of the great progress. So what I want to talk about briefly is taking that a little further. North of 295, you're well connected to the Lawrence Hopewell Trail, and from there to the Delaware Atlantic Canal. So North Lawrence is already going to be well connected. South of 295, and you can see on the inset map that's on the handout, the trail kind of peters out, and I know there are some thoughts about extending that into Trenton, but that's out of our domain. So what I'd like to bring up is other possible connections that will allow people south of I-295 to gain better access to the trail. One, the easiest one, I think, would be to connect to Colonial Lake Park. That trail is actually already in the master plan for Lawrence Township. And it uses mostly township property, a little bit of bargaining would have to be made with private owners. But I think that's the most doable connection in South Lawrence. Other possibilities would be to extend over to the east to like the Pine Knoll, Stoneco Drive neighborhood down to the county library on Dara Avenue. And there's ways to do it, and I'm available to discuss that and work with council, work with staff to help to make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Robert.
Is there any other public participation? Please come up and state your name and address.
Mary Baird, 92 Traditions Way. Good evening. On a totally different topic and one that was previously discussed, but maybe because of COVID and various other things has been kind of lost in the way. I'd like to bring up a situation that has fallen off the minds of Lawrence Township, and that is the traffic pattern of Federal City Road, specifically between Route 295 overpass and Bunker Hill Road. Property in Hopewell Township that borders this strip has been sold for multiple density housing without any consideration to traffic on Federal City Road. This will adversely affect Lawrence and Ewing residents since all three townships border this road. I'm asking for the township to resume talks with Lawrenceville, with Ewing, Lawrenceville, Hopewell Townships, and Mercer County. My understanding is that we did have some conversations, but with all the things that have happened in the last 2 years, I think they've fallen away by the wayside. To ask these townships in Mercer County to plan for excessive traffic that is expected as a result of this development. I live in a community where the entrance to Woodmont development would be directly opposite. As it is now, a driver may have to wait for as many as 11 vehicles to pass before making a left-hand turn with traffic backing up as far as Route 295 overpass. I bring this up before the council so that maybe you could consider this in a proactive as opposed to a reactive response to a situation. I know traffic is going to be bad, and I'd like to see maybe the townships and the county work in a more proactive way so that we could maybe avoid possible more accidents and injury to people. Thank you.
Thank you so much. State your name and your address, please.
Greetings. I'm Laura Simone Martin, 2 Hedgerow Court, Lawrenceville, New Jersey. I'm a rising senior at Lawrence High School, and I have voluntarily skipped seeing the peers I grew up with walk across the stage at today's LHS graduation to express my concern and frustration at today's town council meeting. This concern stems from the fact the Lawrence Council Township has not accepted its DEI committee's recommendation that a resolution that expresses support for a creation of the state task force on reparations be placed on this agenda during this meeting. As a senior and cultural activist within my school district, it is frustrating that the council pushed these issues onto the DEI committee and received a resolution and a unanimous vote of support, yet the council still refuses to make this serious discussion by addressing it on today's agenda. So now we're left wondering if we can still depend on the council's support. All we ask is for the council to be our voice of support for state action like so many other towns and cities have done for their citizens. Please listen to your community members and help. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming, and as you will hear in the report, we passed on the DEI committee's report, and Councilman Bobbitt and I reviewed the four other resolutions that have, it's four, right, that have come up in the state, and are continuing to work on the language that, and shared, I think, a third version of the resolution to council just this weekend. And so we are making sure that it is reflective of not only the DEI recommendations, the input that we got from the community, as well as any other concerns that we believe that we have heard from other communities that have addressed this in the past. So I appreciate it. I understand that sometimes government moves slower than we would like, but we also want to make sure that we are doing something that is effective within the whole community. So the clerk just passed out a new copy of the resolution for us to look at for the next meeting.
Is there anybody else?
Mayor Ryan, Council.
Mr. Hooker.
Hi.
Come on up and state your name and your address, please.
James.
Thank you.
James Hooker, 713 Bunker Hill Avenue, Lawrenceville. Like Mr. Mazenko over here, I'm also a member of the Lawrence Trails and Open Space. And we, our chairman sent along a letter in support of the 295 project, bridge project, which Ms. Horn did a great job of laying out, and of course is a fantastic, would be a fantastic project to see through. Also here, and I'm not sure if this is the time or whether you're going to call for the, with the $75,000 trail completion at Colonial Lake. So another...
It is.
Is it on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's several of us here from Colonial Lake. I'm the president of our nonprofit organization, which is Friends of Colonial Lake Park. You guys have been terrific to the park. To borrow a phrase from Ms. Horn's statement, unwavering support comes to mind. You guys have been fantastic. And, of course, we really appreciate this trail. Monies that I believe Ms. Kramer, Brenda Kramer, might have gotten that grant for us, or whomever. It was the township, and great job by that. And Ms. Kramer was kind enough to come to our meeting, I believe a week ago. We have quarterly meetings, and backgrounded us on that trail. At that meeting, I asked her whether she would be amenable to, the township would be amenable to, having a conversation with input from the Watershed Institute, because we had them at our Earth Day bird watch and this kind of thing, and they talked about the importance of having some habitat. So maybe we got to be careful that perhaps the trail, you know, you want something, you get it, and then you'd like, be careful, we don't want to do harm if possible. I know there's certain rules, 5 feet wide, et cetera, but would the township talk with the Institute? And Ms. Kramer was, you know, kind enough to say, sure, let's put us together. I'm in the process of trying to do that right now. So a bunch of folks are here. I don't know whether they're going to speak or not when it comes time, or if that's a separate matter that gets discussed. I wasn't sure, but we wanted to thank you and appreciate that funding and that job to do that with the trail. While I'm up here, I just want to mention a couple other things. You guys have paved our neighborhood over there at Colonial Lake. It's always never hurts to say thanks. And the shade trees, perhaps, I think, more importantly, even though I had a big pothole out front of my house, that's fine. We'd go around it, slowed people down. I don't blame you, John. But the shade trees that were planted along Mayflower very recently, beautiful job. You were in my thoughts, Mayor. I was thinking of texting you. I didn't.
I took a walk. I saw them. They did a great job.
Great job. Yeah, they planted them, did a great job. Speaking of planting trees, Friends of Colonial Lake Park, on Earth Day, we planted 3 new cherry trees at the park to replace some of those that had, and so that was our donation. But as always, a partnership, the Township Public Works crews under Greg Whitehead dug it out for us and readied the area for us. So that worked out really well, too. So basically, I just wanted to offer those thanks from the nonprofit, and I'm not sure whether others will have something to say on that as well, but we do appreciate it, and we also appreciate at least listening to the Watershed Institute and make sure we don't make a mistake that we would regret. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor? Yeah.
Absolutely. I just wanted to say I was thinking about Ms. Martin's comments, and I couldn't let them sit too long, so I was thinking about it. And I guess what I'd like to say is that, you know, there's a process to government that I've learned over the years from my colleagues on this council, and I've learned a lot from them, and I respect everyone on here. One of the reasons why I like working with this group is that we all have different opinions that I respect. I think having the 5 of us up here gives everyone a good balance of what's important in Lawrence Township, right? Each one of us has a different experience. Each one of us has a different vantage point on how we see Lawrence Township. I guess what I'm wrestling with, and I'm doing this publicly, so is up here, these are my colleagues. I try to work with them. Councilwoman Lewis and I have been working on a resolution taking what the DEI committee has put forward, not to rubber stamp it, but to get to 5 and understand the concerns, because I think it's important that it's tested amongst the 5 of us before it goes out in public and it makes sense, and that it represents Lawrence Township, that it's not just a rubber stamp. It's not just taking what was put before us. Lord knows we all have probably had beef with lobbying groups putting resolutions and laws in front of legislators. So I just want to say, I guess what I find a little disappointing is sort of the lack of understanding of how the process works, as well as sort of it should be an antagonistic situation. We've heard the DEI committee, and it troubles me that the DEI committee is sort of taken as this entity that doesn't represent Lawrence and gives us advice. So I'm going to get off my soapbox in a little, because I think I'm running out of my 5 minutes. But come back next month. I think there'll be a good resolution that doesn't have archaic language in speaking about enslaved people or enslavers, and actually starts to work towards actual action in this township and throughout the county. And we just need time to get everyone to read it and to feel comfortable with it. And I can see some eye rolls, and that's okay. So thank you. Thanks, Mayor.
May I say something, please?
Please, come on up. State your name and your address, please.
I'm Fred Berain. 26 Fred Berain Jr. Road, Lawrence Township. I want to give kudos to Ms. Martin, a young person coming up here who you should pay attention to. Things that you move on is not always going to be comfortable.
Crossroads, 733 Lake Drive, Lawrenceville. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council people, for allowing me to have a moment to speak. I'm also on the Friends of Colonial Lake committee with the other people that are here today. Can you guys hear me? Okay. No, you can't.
It records, it doesn't amplify.
Okay.
It doesn't record either. It's broken.
Oh.
So just speak louder. It's really the answer.
Okay. I lived at 733 Lake Drive across the street, directly across from Colonial Lake Park for 20 years now. And it's a wonderful place, and I've been very privileged to help work with the committee to save the land behind and all of that. And every day when I take my walks, I pick up trash, and I do share the concern that Jim Hooker brought up about just being careful about the balance of how much, you know, we open the park up to, you know, additional traffic that could create other issues. A lot more people have been using the park since the pandemic, and people are coming in from other communities and using the park. That's created issues with traffic, people speeding through the neighborhood where we have children playing. That's another concern. I have another concern that I'd like to bring up, however, tonight. That's the main reason that I wanted to speak. And having lived here, even though the trees in the park are wonderful and a blessing and beautiful and we all love them, when you live on the west side of the park or the south side of the park, in the fall, the leaves become your nightmare. And I don't have any deciduous trees on my own property. All the leaves that I get are either from the sycamores, one of which has now been cut down in front of my house, very sadly. I have loved these trees, and I have managed the leaves, and I've paid hundreds of dollars a year over and above my taxes. I've called, you know, Public Works. They've been wonderful about coming out and trying to pick up. They just can't keep up with the volume. And the sycamores drop first, then we have the oaks start dropping and the other trees. There are certain oaks in the park that don't finish dropping until mid-December now. It's gotten later and later. So I'm trying to manage leaves on my property, and I'm in one of those unique spots. School board member Pluta is one of my neighbors also. He is also in a situation. He's not able to be here tonight because he has to be at the graduation, but he's also in a situation where he's inundated with leaves on his two properties next door to each other that he owns at the end of the cul-de-sac. And it really is difficult when I hear from my landscaper that now he's being told that he can only put leaves on the street at the, you know, end of the month, but his people don't even work on the weekend. It's a Saturday, Sunday. That means I have to basically be responsible for warehousing all the township leaves that are not my leaves on my property somewhere. Probably the only place I can do it is between the street and my garage, which is at the back of my property. So I will have blocked access to my garage. They'll have to put tarps. I don't even know what we're going to have to do to manage these leaves. And then to try to get them to the street on a weekend, my business is very seasonal, and I'm very busy. I have to work a lot of weekends in the fall. I don't have time to deal with this. Excuse me. And I can't even find people to pay. I can't get anyone to get my snow anymore. You can't find people to come and trim your bushes. I'm not going to be able to find anybody to do this. So I feel like it's an inordinate hardship that's an extra tax, really. I mean, because I don't even know how much I'm going to have to pay to have people haul these leaves away, maybe on a weekly basis, if we can't put them in the street every week the way we've been doing it and wait for collection. And I just feel like this is singling out people who live on the south and probably other parks in the town too, you know, on the south and the west side of our park for additional tax and hardship, essentially. And I'm just asking that the council people consider that and find perhaps a way to resolve that for those of us who are really impacted by this.
So you're allowed to put leaves out anytime during the week. It's just a brush.
Okay.
That there's certain
Because I've been cited. I've never been cited ever. And I've been cited multiple times this last year, all of a sudden.
During the time when we collect leaves, there's a difference. Because there's brush time and then there's leaf time.
Right, if you go on the township webpage, you'll see when you can do it. And there's, yeah, it's by the zone. Like, zone four is coming up next week for brush.
But leaves aren't collected.
I did see that, but there isn't a distinction between leaves and between brush about when you can put them out.
If you go on the webpage, they'll tell you.
I did look at it actually even today, very respectfully.
There are also state laws, I believe, stormwater laws that govern that. And I think that the windows, and the manager's not here today, he would have a better answer. But there are laws that govern how long some of those pieces can be done. So we've tried, especially with the brush pieces, the mayor said, to provide residents with a window that conforms with the stormwater pieces so that we can continue to do pickup. Because really, the state would love us not to do pickup because they don't want any of that in there at all. So we've tried to mitigate those pieces. But I would suggest that you send an email to the manager, who's not here this evening, to ask about the specific.
The manager, you mean Public Works manager?
No, the township manager.
Oh, the township manager. Okay.
He's a grandfather now.
Okay.
On that. But I know that the leaves that you can put it out any time. And then when I put my leaves out, I just leave along the curb this space so the water can run down so it's not up against it and it all clogs up and pushes out in the road.
Unfortunately, with the way the prevailing wind blows, they're blown back onto my property more often than not, so that space isn't even possible for somebody like me to make. I totally hear you about the storm drains. It's just, you know, it's really difficult. And my landscaper got a citation because I guess he was out there trying to blow the leaves back that were blowing across while he was trying to clean up my yard from the park, and he got a citation, and I got a citation for that. So it's just, not having ever gotten a citation and trying to, you know, be a good law-abiding citizen of the township for 20 years and suddenly getting, you know, several citations in a season, something's different now. And
if you just send it to Mr. Nowinski, he'll get back to you on that. But it could have been a citation of not being registered, your landscaper, too. They have to register in the township.
No, it wasn't about that. It was, it was specifically about the leaves.
Send out an email to Mr. Nowinski.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming in. Mr. Van Cleef? Your name and your address, sir?
Jim Cleek, 7 East Darrow Lane. I threw my back out, so I'm moving slow tonight.
Well, you're down to 3 minutes.
I don't want to hear that. Councilman Bobbitt can testify that when people took 15 minutes last time, I was upset because I, so I don't.
I'm glad
Mayor
Ryan's back.
I too want to hold forth a little bit on the repatriation task force issue, and I also want to add to my compliments to the young lady because 66 years ago when I was a senior in high school, I would not have had the nerve or been articulate enough to do that, to speak as she did, and I compliment her. I gave a lot of thought to that, listening to all the heartfelt speeches at the last meeting, and while I knew there had been slavery in Mercer County, of course, I'd only recently learned the extent of it, and it was especially ironic that at that same meeting, David Burley was honored as one of the founding fathers, while he was also, like most of our founding fathers and most of our early presidents, a slaveholder. It seems to me there's yet another example of the complexity of the whole issue. At the same time, I feel sure that most black people don't see it as complex, but as a clear case of right or wrong. After trying my best since then to study the extent of the slavery in the area together with the current extreme de facto segregation in the state, which transcends slavery, I do feel that such a task force is justified and indeed overdue. And I know that what you're being asked to do, as I understand it, is just to recommend that the state study it. So I don't know how. It's probably what I'm holding forth on is probably beyond what you're supposed to even do, because it's up to the whatever council is established, if there is one, to discuss what exactly is done. But maybe you're wrestling with also trying to make the right statement, because at the same time that I think it's not only it's justified but indeed overdue, at the same time I think it's a slippery slope, because there's nothing like slavery, but there's other non-white people, the Asians, the Chinese, the Native Americans. They're not in Mercer County, but if you look at they're talking about this on a national level too, who also were mistreated. And I don't know where. I really can't imagine how what's going to be the answer to this, because the other issue is the shocking difference between the median net worth of New Jersey's white families compared to black families. Good grief. I mean, I don't think, and I'm sure that lots and lots of white people are saying, well, I don't make $352,000, but that still is the median, and that's shocking. And the reason that there's as much segregation as there is, I submit, is probably because a lot of the people who are living where they are now have been living there since the redlining days, when that was the only place they could get housing. And I don't know, and is also what kind of repatriations are justified, or how would they be done? I don't think most people consider writing checks. It seems like something, if there's monies, it should be devoted to trying to narrow this wealth gap, to try and help people who, these vast number of people who are poverty stricken, do whatever. And that's easy said, I know. I think it's just it's a terrible shame that not only are we segregated, but we don't talk to each other very much, and we're most segregated, I guess, on Sunday mornings. I thought about the fact one of the complex things I think about is that how about African Americans who came here long after slavery? Well, but at the same time, the other part of me recognizes that even that they weren't, that their ancestors weren't slaves, they still were subject of Jim Crow and just general. And when I was growing up, I never thought about any of this, about the extent to which it wasn't the Deep South, but New Jersey was plenty segregated, and we, my generation, just took it for granted, just like we did gays. We didn't think there were any, you know, because everybody was in the closet. The whole issue of, and the same way, I think this has kind of nothing to do with the issue in a way, but I thought, why are so many people who are like President Obama and Vice President Harris, both of them had one white and one Indian parent, and they always are described and describe themselves as purely African Americans and give no recognition. But then I thought about it, I can understand why.
I'm going to wind you down.
Yeah, okay, right. Okay. But at the same time, I understand why, because in days past, one drop of black blood by white people were considered that you were black. So I guess that's the way, and that's a justification for that. I think that I go back. Some people, there, it's also the white people who didn't come here until after slavery. Well, my ancestors came here before, and back that far, but they didn't own any slaves, and so part of me thinks, why am I guilty to what my parents, my ancestors didn't even do? But the other part of me recognizes that I've been a debt beneficiary by being born white, and I recognize that late belatedly.
Thank you, sir.
Martha Friend, 976 Lawrenceville Road. Mr. Cleek, is that what it is, your name?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for pointing out how much work there is to do with this task force, that our bill that we're just asking, as you said, our council to simply say we support this bill, the New Jersey Reparations Task Force Act, and aren't we glad we won't be on, I don't imagine, many of us on that task force should it happen, because that is deep, hard work. But I appreciate you clarifying that that's what we're asking our council to do, is simply say doing some research, spending 2 years looking into this issue is really important. So I just wanted to also clarify that for folks who might be sitting here who don't know about our ask. I do just have to clarify, and I'm sorry, I apologize, I don't know who said it. I looked up the definition of draconian, because I think somebody said concern about draconian language in the kind of draft resolution that some Lawrence historians put together and we shared with you, but draconian means excessively harsh and severe. So I think if we are talking about those were then enslaved, yes, somebody said draconian. They was concerned about their draconian language, so I just wanted to clarify. Of course, draconian is a perfect word if we're talking about those who are enslaved. Just clear, and I'm happy to be corrected if I misheard.
Mr. Mayor, I believe I said archaic.
Yeah. You did.
The word is archaic.
Thank you. See? I appreciate that, because I was feeling confused. Archaic language. Good. And I'm really glad to hear that you guys are already on your second or third draft. What we don't know is that, and maybe you would say fourth draft.
Fourth.
Excellent. All we know is there's radio silence. So I understand, Councilman Bobbitt, you felt some frustration from the group. There was frustration when there isn't clear communication that... it's moving forward. So we appreciate that.
Thank you. Public participation. Any
Tim Haggerty to Mark Cermelli Court.
Town Council, I'm following up on a letter. This is on a different subject, also important, and I think time sensitive. A letter that I sent last week expressing my concerns that a gun shop is apparently being developed at the former 7-Eleven site on Route 206. And I don't think I'm going to need 5 minutes, because I don't think that this is a complicated issue. Guns and bullets shouldn't be sold in the shadows of our schools. It's insane. And I think that the town can do something about it. There's still time. What I'm asking for is that town council impose an immediate moratorium on the development of gun shops in Lawrence Township. The town council develop regulations regarding where gun shops can be operated within the township, and the town council organize a standing committee to figure out ways that this town can get on the right side of the gun violence problem in this state, in this country, and in the world, quite frankly. We're way behind. I mean, I hear this conversation today, and what I hear is I'm hearing about an issue that I don't know enough about, but I think I know enough to know that we're on the wrong side of history. And the gun violence problem is the same. I don't want to say it's the same. That's not right. It's another issue where we're on the wrong side of history. I think that there's a chance for us to do better, and I think we need to do it right now, and that's what I'm asking town council.
If there is a presently an application pending for
I didn't get an email or anything.
So I can tell you this, if it's appropriate for me to respond, I can.
Sure.
I
asked
engage.
The question, so I. Yeah. So I, you know, I'm this is the first time I'm hearing that there's
right.
an application for a gun shop use within Lawrence Township.
So here's what I know. I heard that this was the case. I emailed Mr. Nowinski asking whether it was correct. I was very happy to be corrected. I was not corrected. The information was confirmed. He gave me the operator's name. I can share it with you if you'd like. But there has been, my understanding, an application to develop the 7-Eleven site as a gun shop. Again, if I'm mistaken, that would be really good news to me. But the other thing I learned in the course of the conversation that I had by email with Mr. Nowinski was that, and I should have known this, the township doesn't have any regulations on where gun shops can operate within the town. And it should. Of course it should. I mean, if I've got the geography correct, I actually think that the 7-Eleven is within a gun-free school zone under federal law, which actually doesn't mean you can't have a gun shop, as I understand the law. But I think it pretty obviously means you shouldn't. So what are we doing here is the question that I have. And to be quite blunt, the engagement that I had going back and forth with the town manager didn't give me comfort that the issue was going to be addressed in a way that I thought would be productive. So that's why I wrote to town council. It's why I'm here. And if, in fact, the present and immediate danger of this development is mistaken, then I still think that all of the same concerns hold true, that I think the town can do better. I think we should develop regulations on where gun shops can and should operate. I think that there are places that they shouldn't, for sure, and if I were to pick top five, this would be one of them.
Mr. Haggerty, we didn't get an email at all, so I don't know, really, this is...
Mr. Mayor. May I pose a question to the Township Council? I mean, the Township.
Just to be confusing.
Yeah,
Council with the spelled differently.
Yeah.
Exactly. The question I have for him is, would it be appropriate for the Township to take that action? Is that legal? Does it violate any sort of land use ordinance laws or anything like that?
So at the moment, like I said, that was one of the reasons I was asking if there was any type of application that was pending, because the council couldn't act on any type of pending application if there was one before the planning board or the zoning board. For the council right now, as we're sitting here to enact some sort of moratorium on gun land, I'm just going to say gun land use, would not be permitted without further study from the planning board and a recommendation from the planning board. So that's not saying that something can't happen, it can't happen right now. And if, as you said, Mr. Haggerty, if you know the geometry of where this proposed gun shop is in violation of some sort of regulation, mm-hmm. then there would have to be some sort of relief to allow that gun store, if there is a gun store going there, to actually go into that location. You know, not knowing enough about the situation, you know, I can't provide any further guidance. But if you did write to Mr. Iwinski or if you did write to council, I'm sure we can look into the matter.
And we do. New Jersey is unique in terms of the way municipal government works. They literally, the legislature articulates A through Z what we can regulate. Other communities, like California, other jurisdictions, the town has more control over what can be done. But if it came to preventing bars, we're the State Alcohol Beverage Control Commission. That governs that, so we're preempted. If we wanted to ban nuclear power plants, that's, again, federal. So we do run in New Jersey, municipalities do run onto that issue. So I hear, we certainly, no one's disagreeing with what you're saying, but I just wanted to give you the response from a bureaucratic perspective, that from a municipal perspective, if they meet the land use requirements and it's permitted under the state gun control laws, then we're sort of going to be looking at it, you know, just like a nuclear power plant, a bar or whatever. So I do, right. You know, I don't want to give you false hope that. And that's maybe what Mr. Nowinski's email or communication to you was telling you. But I just wanted to let you know, legislatively, you know, this is something we certainly talk to Senator Turner about, or, you know, and make sure that, you know, the issues you're sharing, you know, are expressed at a higher level than our government here.
I hear that. That's sort of where the conversation started with Mr. Nowinski. I think I actually think that the statute's very clear that municipal governments in New Jersey are not preempted from operating appropriate local gun regulations. There's a specific statute.
I mean, you would need
not an area where there is federal or state preemption. I believe the law is relatively clear there.
So I think what you can see, though, is that we didn't get that email. And so I'm going to add, if you sent it from a Gmail, things have been taking a couple of weeks to get through the spam filter, so please send it again.
It sounds like Councilman Powers may have
received it. So forward it to the rest of us.
Yeah, we didn't get it.
Mr. Mayor, I got it as well.
Oh, I didn't. All right, there we go. Two out of five.
Sporadic, right?
Or you can send it to the regular mail.
I forgot how to do that.
There's no spam filter on the regular mail.
Mr. Haggerty, I'm sorry, but I did not even see.
No, I'm glad that I'm here to have the conversation and raise the issue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Public participation? Any other? We're going to close public participation. Go to review and revision of the agenda. Done?
Do we need to add this?
I hope.
No.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, do we have a need for closed session?
We're good.
No.
Thank you. We have the adoption of minutes.
I'll make a motion to move 8A, closed session, May 17th, 2022.
Second.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki?
Stay.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
Yes.
Make a motion to move 8B, regular meeting, March 1st, 2022.
Second.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki? Ms. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
Yes.
I thought they were all separate. My apologies. 8C, regular meeting, February 15, 2022.
Second.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
Yes. Can I get a motion for 9A, please?
Make a motion to move 9A, number 224, authorizing awarding a bid for full soil road improvement program.
Second.
Could you shut that door, please, on the way out? Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, 9A, public participation, please. Seeing none, we'll move on. Motion to move 9B, please.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
Yes. Now, my apologies. Motion to move 9B, please.
9B, number 225, authorizing awarding a bid for Cold Soil Road and Jacaris Drive pedestrian improvements.
Second.
Public participation, please. Seeing none.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
Yes. We'll close public participation on 9, please. We'll introduction of ordinance.
Make a motion to move 10A, ordinance number 2428-22, and ordinance amending ordinance number 1932-07, and ordinance of the Township of Lawrence regulating residential rental units.
Second.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
Yes.
Make a motion to move 10B, ordinance number 2429-22, and ordinance amending the salary ordinance of the Township of Lawrence unclassified and or exempt seasonal emergency non-union.
Second.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
Yes.
Make a motion to move 10C, ordinance number 2430-22, ordinance amending section 301 zoning map of the land use ordinance of the Township of Lawrence.
Second.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
Yes. 11, adoption of ordinances. Public park. Nothing. Manager's report. Nothing. Attorney's report.
Nothing besides saying thank you for allowing me to spend the evening.
Thanks for reading the webpage there and getting there at 6. You had to talk to Mr. Roscoe on that one.
Yeah, he was sweating.
I know. Clerk's report.
I'd like to say. This will be my last meeting, and are the Shade Tree people still here? I wanted to present an apple tree to the township.
We're supposed to present you with it.
I'm
not
going
all the way around.
Not you, but the whole tree.
I was thinking maybe in the courtyard, and Greg White isn't here. He'll probably come in with a gun tomorrow, because the last thing he really needs is more work. But I just wanted to have something living to remember me by, and hopefully one day it'll produce apples.
And you can still feed the deer.
And yeah, and when they drop, you're right. I can still be feeding deer. It's been a pleasure. I'm not gonna miss everybody because I'll be around. But anyway, thank you.
No, thank you.
It's nothing I want to do, but oh, let me just tell you why I think I'm making good. No, that has nothing to do with Oprah. It became very apparent to me on Saturday morning that I made the right decision. I pulled into Lidl and parked the car in Lidl parking lot. I didn't pull into Lidl parking lot. And this 20-some-year-old pulled up next to me, got out, looked at me, and he looked at the car, and he says, "Your grandson's?"
That's a nice car.
I said, "No, mine." And he's just, "Oh, living good, living fun." Yeah, okay. So I figure I've made the right decision. It's time. That's my report.
Thank you. Unfinished business. New business.
Well, I guess since Kathy is officially since Kathy did not renege on her retirement, we do need to make a motion to move 16A number 202, authorizing the appointment of Tanya D. Carter, RMC, CMC, as a municipal clerk for a 3-year term effective July 1st, 2022.
Second with pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
You skipped me.
Oh, Ms. Lewis.
Yes!
Ms. Lewis, yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
She moved it.
I moved it. Yeah, you moved it. So.
The last day.
The last day. Well, hey.
We got a new mayor. He didn't say yes yet.
We need
yes, he did. Didn't you say yes? Okay, Mayor Ryan, you going to say yes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Absolutely.
Thank you all.
Why you can't leave or why you need to retire.
That's why I need to retire. Yeah, that's why I need to retire.
All right.
Public participation, 3 minutes.
Overtime.
State your name again, please, and your address.
I'm still James Hooker, 713 Bunker Hill Avenue.
You didn't move.
I did not move, and hope not to for a while at least. I forgot Paul Larson, the chairman of the Open Space Committee, where I serve, and appreciate, and Councilwoman Lewis, great liaison, pops in on us regularly. He sent me along with something, and I forgot all about it because there was so much going on before, and our trail, and whatever else, and the bridge, and the trees, and which is also another thing I want to bring up about the trees. I'm going to stay on 3 minutes, believe me. We're all hungry. I didn't eat. Spruce Street, yes. Terry, I forget Terry's last name, talking about leaves and everything. No, Terry, a long time. I just don't remember her last name.
Foster, I think. Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Great lady, very supportive of our group, Friends of Colonial Lake Park. She also was very upset that a sycamore came down in front of her house, I think, that the power companies took it down, I think. I looked for it the other day. I didn't see evidence. I would like to say, while I did talk about, I did thank you, and I do thank you, for the trees along Mayflower, which had been, to use a big word, denuded in recent years over storms and just people cutting their own trees down and whatever. Thank God they're now back again. They're going to be, and they're great. But the sycamore trees, I have some on the lower half of mine. I've lost two since I moved there 25 years ago. But as you come into the Colonial Lake neighborhood, where two council members live and where I live, and the beautiful sycamore trees, they just can't be understated how they make that neighborhood. And God forbid we should lose any of those. So hopefully if the township ever goes to move, you know, to take any of that down, that they come to the neighborhood first and talk to people. So if we can come here and, you know, or I'll buy some chains and I'll chain myself to a tree. If you want to get rid of me, that's an easy way to do it. You know, God forbid, hopefully they stay, you know, healthy forever because they make the neighborhood and the entry into the neighborhood. Anyway, all right, so let me, I promise. Paul Larson, chairman of Open Space, talks about, I didn't hear it, though, called on the agenda about Block 503 and that we should look at Block 503 for potential rezoning, I think it was, yes.
Yeah.
And Paul was telling me about how Trenton Block is there, and he believes they may already be encroaching a little bit on the on our township-owned property, and how he would like the township to know that Open Space, the Trails and Open Space and Stewardship Committee, advisory committee, I should say, of the council, will be looking at that, and we may be asking, I'm the guy saying, may be asking that we would step gingerly around that, and that we shouldn't consider some of that property as potential parkland. Nash Park is there, the Colonial Heights neighborhood. There's the right-of-way of the East Trenton Railroad Company that stretches from New York Avenue to Whitehead that people are looking at as access to the towpath. And I guess, again, it's just to be sort of mindful of the other parklands that are there. And Paul says we own, you know, many, many lots down there, and that they should be considered for inclusion into the park system as opposed to development. Now, Trenton Block, I think, has been around there probably for a really long time. They may be a very reputable company, and we want them to continue probably to live here. I'm not sure on that. I'm no expert. And then I said to Paul that if it is rezoned, and if we were to allow Trenton Block to go there, well, let's then talk about, as the council, some sort of a right-of-way or something like that regarding this trail system that he sees and the other properties that could be considered parkland in that area.
So, I think I'm looking for, it is on.
Mr. Mayor, if I may,
I appreciate Mr. Hooker's advocacy for trails and open space in regards to the block. That's the beauty of the second reading of an ordinance.
Right.
This is merely an introduction.
Okay.
And so there shouldn't be any public comment. It should allow you to have time to review and to speak at the second reading.
Okay. I have not had time to review. Paul did review, and he asked me to advocate on our behalf as a committee.
You should remind Mr. Morrison that introduction of an ordinance, there is no public review.
Oh, okay. Well, my apologies on that, but it never hurts to.
Thank you. We were looking at resolutions. That's why we were being used.
So, Mr. Mayor, again, nothing, no harm, no foul, Mr. Hooker.
Okay.
We know where you live.
Okay, well,
we look forward to seeing you in
Sycamore.
And thank you, again. Yeah, the Sycamore is very important, but thank you again for what the township has given the Colonial Lake Park. I know there's many parks in this township, and I love the fact that we care about them so much, all of them. There's so much parkland and trails and things like that, and we really appreciate what you've been doing for Colonial Lake Park, the fact that you stepped in and stopped development there. And that you continue to look at it for, like, completion of the trail and ripping up of the parking lot behind the bowling and things like that. So thank you very much, and we do appreciate it, and we wanted you to know
thank
that.
Thank you so much.
Thank
nice
you.
Seeing you. Tell family said hi.
Thank you.
Hello home as well.
Well, thank you. Is there any other public participation? 3 minutes. We're going to close public participation. 3 minutes. We're going to move 18A. Motion to move 18A, please.
Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion to move 18A through H11 and H13 and 14 and 15 in a block.
Second.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
Yes.
Mayor, I'll move 18H12.
Mr. Bobbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Kanacki?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Stain.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mayor Ryan?
Yes. 19, Council Initiatives and Liaison Report. None. What do you have?
I do. I was going to add a little bit more. So I addressed the task force piece, but there was other work as part of the conversation with DEI. I have also been working with Mr. Nowinski and with the DEI chair for next year to make sure, or for future ones, to put the dates on the request for lights, because there was some confusion with the schedule, so we are going to do that in the future. But if you were here this weekend, it was lit up for Juneteenth, and it should be lit up for Pride when we leave. There was also discussion, and you can see it in the report that was given, for the DEI task force to continue work on the witness zone project, to investigate that, which would actually be, to Mr. Cleek's comment, a way to provide more information if you go to the Brearley House and some other places. on the impact that slavery has had and where there were slaves in Lawrence, as well as creating sort of a subcommittee on task force of those pieces. So those are some of the other pieces that they are working on, and they are off for the summer, so they will be back in September. And I don't have to say anything about trails because Jim gave everything. So there you go.
Mayor, Historic Preservation hasn't had a meeting, so the state's getting antsy, so they just want to come in and audit, and so Brenda Kramer's going to arrange that meeting to them.
Thank you. All good?
Fireworks.
Fireworks.
Or July 1st.
July 1st, rain date the 2nd. Communications, none. No executive session. Excessive. Gosh. Motion to adjourn. Well, before we adjourn, Madam Clerk, we love you. We appreciate all that you have done, all that you have helped us through, all the cranky phone calls you took from us. The text, the email.
Fun.
And I know that your phone is always open.
Yes.
And it's been a pleasure, I'm telling you. It's been fun. It's, I appreciate all that you do for me and the township.
Thank you. I'm going to miss it.
I'm going to add something.
Go ahead.
It'll be short. As someone who didn't grow up in Lawrence Township, I appreciate your friendship as well as you sharing the history of council and just the personalities that have preceded us who are sitting on the stairs right now. Those stories will be treasured. Thank you.
Just hit me with anyone that you want to and I'll see if I can recall. Just don't forget me. I'm only a phone call away. Not you.
I was going to say... Mr. Mayor, I know she made us promise we wouldn't give her anything, and that is why we were only saying thank you for tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But I appreciate her gift, but I think that she should rest assured that the legacy that you have left in this township is far greater than an apple tree. And we thank you for your work.
Mayor, is the old timer here? I think you go
in Dean.
Go in Kathy's office, and Kathy has pictures of the various councils. So before she leaves, I want to make sure Mike, we'll give you the iPhone to take a picture of this council with Kathy in it. So we get that, and Kathy, we will miss you.
Sit down.
And we have. And the other thing is, thank God we didn't have a 5-minute meeting. You know, we had audience participation. You know, it was very good. So.
And the mayor has passed you that gavel so that when we make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Can you gavel us out, please, Madam Clerk?